In the latest episode of our collective nightmare, we have the surreal case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a man who found himself mistakenly deported and trapped in a Kafkaesque loop of bureaucratic limbo. It's a tale that sounds like it was plucked from the pages of absurdist fiction, yet here we are, living it out in real time. Senator Chris Van Hollen took a trip to El Salvador, where he encountered roadblocks at every turn just to meet with this Maryland father. Imagine that, traveling thousands of miles only to be initially denied access to someone who shouldn't even be there in the first place. But persistence is key when you're up against an administration that's turned defiance into an art form. The White House admits they goofed. Abrego Garcia was deported by mistake, yet despite court orders and basic human decency screaming for his return, President Trump's administration remains as unyielding as ever. Why bring him back when you can instead embroil yourself in legal acrobatics and paint him as a dangerous criminal without evidence? It's almost like they enjoy turning due process into a circus act. Van Hollen stands firm on constitutional rights, a quaint notion these days, and argues that ignoring them for one person threatens them for us all. Meanwhile, critics suggest focusing on more viable issues like tariffs and the economy, because clearly nothing screams stability like prioritizing trade over human rights. As if this isn't enough theater, let's add some courtroom drama. The Trump administration has been ordered by the Supreme Court to facilitate Abrego Garcia's return, but seems content doing absolutely nothing about it. Facilitate apparently means sitting on your hands while blaming everyone else for your own mess. And so we watch this farce unfold, another chapter in America's ongoing saga of sidestepping responsibility under the guise of law and order. In this topsy-turvy world where right is wrong and wrong is shrugged off with indifference, remember, today it's Abrego Garcia. Tomorrow it could be any one of us caught in this nightmarish dance with fate.
Of white people problems, let's talk about Elon Musk, the billionaire who bought Twitter, now called X because apparently he thought the alphabet needed a little more excitement. Musk has been on a media tour since 2023, but let's be honest, it's less of a tour and more of an ego parade. He's out there doing interviews with folks who think hard-hitting journalism means complimenting his hair. He's been on Fox News 5 times. 5, even Joe Rogan got in on it, probably asking if Musk ever smoked weed with aliens. Spoiler, he didn't ask about anything that matters. Now, Elon's joined President Trump's administration in something called the Department of Government Efficiency, which is funny because I can't imagine a less efficient duo than Trump and Musk trying to run anything together. Except maybe a reality TV show where they fire each other every week. And when it comes to tough questions, oh no, those are like kryptonite to our dear Elon. His last challenging interview was with Don Lemon back in 2024. And by challenging, I mean someone dared to ask him why X leans right faster than your uncle at Thanksgiving dinner. Musk didn't like that one bit. The deal for Lemon's new show on X, Gone Faster Than You Can Say Free Speech. Because nothing says open dialogue like canceling someone for asking why your platform sounds like it's auditioning for a spot on Fox News. But here's the kicker. Musk hates dealing with the media so much that he cut down communication departments at his businesses. Now reporters get responses in emojis, a poop emoji to be exact. Because when you're a billionaire tech mogul running part of the government, mature communication just seems so pedestrian. So next time you're worried about real issues like healthcare or climate change, remember, somewhere out there is a man worth billions who's stressed about getting asked tough questions by journalists who aren't fawning over him enough. And that's what we call white people problems.
Ah, the modern marvels of communication technology. Once upon a time, whispering secrets in darkened rooms was the height of espionage intrigue. Now we have signal group chats, because nothing screams secure military operation quite like including your wife and brother in on the fun. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has taken this to new heights by sharing sensitive military plans with his inner circle. Because who doesn't want their spouse to weigh in on strategic strikes against the Houthis over dinner? As his advisors begin to question his judgment, a quaint euphemism for, what on earth is he thinking? We find ourselves watching a Pentagon unravel faster than you can say national security breach. The drama unfolds with mass firings and leak investigations that resemble more of a reality TV show than the workings of the world's most powerful defense institution. The chaos at the Pentagon is as predictable as it is entertaining. In an era where everyone's a suspect and polygraph tests are all the rage, It's only fitting that Hegseth would demand an FBI probe into these leaks, because when you're already under investigation by your own department's inspector general, why not throw another federal agency into the mix? More scrutiny always helps clear things up, right? Meanwhile, former officials expressed their disappointment through joint statements that read like heartfelt breakup letters. They wax poetic about honor and service while denying any wrongdoing. Because nothing says trustworthy like being fired amidst allegations of leaking classified information. And let us not forget Hegseth himself, who has mastered the art of absence in times of crisis. When faced with reporters eager for answers about his office's implosion, he sends an aide to face the music instead. After all, dodging accountability is practically a prerequisite for leadership these days. In this grand spectacle of dysfunction, one can't help but wonder if there's any room left for actual defense strategy amidst all this melodrama. As troops amass at borders and military operations hang in limbo, perhaps we're witnessing not just a lapse in judgment, but a preview of what's to come. A future where national security takes a backseat to personal vendettas and digital faux pas. Welcome to the Daily Dose of Dystopia, where every leak is just another plot twist in our ongoing saga toward societal collapse.
Welcome, dear listeners, to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's greatest questions while acknowledging that we're all just tiny specks in an indifferent universe. Today, we're discussing a little app called Signal, known for its privacy features and the ability to keep your secrets, well, mostly secret. Now, isn't it fascinating that in 2025, the year when President Donald Trump is still making headlines, we're worried about privacy? According to CNN's article titled, "What is Signal?" The private chat app is only private if you use it right. Signal promises us secrecy with end-to-end encryption. But of course, as with most things in life, there's a catch. The person you're texting can still read your messages. Shocking revelation there. Conversations involve two people. Signal prides itself on being operated by a nonprofit rather than a tech giant like Meta or Apple. It's almost as if they're suggesting altruism exists outside of corporate greed, a concept so rare it's practically mythical. But let's not get too carried away. After all, even unicorns need funding. And while Signal won't bombard you with ads or trackers, because who needs targeted ads when existential dread is free, it does require you to trust the person on the other side of the screen. A risky gamble indeed. Trusting another human being? Might as well bet your life savings on winning the lottery twice in 1 week. But don't worry, you can set your messages to disappear after 30 seconds. Because nothing says, I trust you, like ensuring our conversation vanishes faster than my willpower at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Signal also offers something called a safety number, which sounds reassuring until you remember that safety is just an illusion we cling to for comfort in this chaotic world. So go ahead and verify those numbers. It won't make life's uncertainties any less uncertain. To get started with Signal, you'll need a phone number capable of receiving texts or calls, a small price to pay for privacy in an age where everyone knows what kind of toothpaste you prefer based on your search history. In conclusion, while Signal may offer some semblance of security amidst the digital chaos, remember this. True privacy is as elusive as finding meaning in our existence. So embrace the absurdity and enjoy your encrypted chats. Just don't forget that every message sent could be another step toward existential enlightenment, or just more noise in the void. Until next time on the Existential Crisis Hour, remember, if no one hears your encrypted scream into the digital abyss, did it ever really happen?
In the fevered landscape of late-stage capitalism, where profit reigns supreme and power is wielded like a cudgel, we find ourselves in a grotesque theater of absurdity. The Trump administration's latest act, slashing another $1 billion from Harvard University's federal grants and contracts for health research, serves as a chilling reminder of just how far society will go to bend the knee to authoritarian whimsy. This isn't merely an administrative decision, it's a calculated maneuver in an escalating war on intellectual autonomy. The irony is palpable. An institution revered globally for its academic rigor and contributions to human knowledge is being punished for daring to maintain its independence against demands that reek of ideological subjugation. The government's insistence on overseeing admissions, hiring practices, and even the thoughts harbored by students and staff reveals a disturbing trend. Education is no longer about enlightenment, but control. Harvard's resistance, publishing a letter from the task force to combat anti-Semitism without consent, was met with swift retaliation. One might think this was some Kafka-esque nightmare if it weren't so starkly real. The administration's fury at being publicly defied exposes their endgame. Absolute dominion over thought and discourse under the guise of oversight. Columbia University, once caught in similar crosshairs, chose submission over principle, altering policies in exchange for continued funding. A Faustian bargain if ever there was one. Their compliance sets a precedent that echoes through academia. Surrender your ideals or face financial ruin. This relentless pursuit of conformity underscores an unsettling truth about our current societal trajectory. Institutions that once stood as bastions against tyranny are being systematically dismantled or coerced into complicity, all while the machinery of capitalism grinds on, indifferent to the casualties left in its wake. As funds meant for advancing human health are siphoned away in this bureaucratic tug of war, we must ask ourselves what price we're willing to pay for progress when those who hold the purse strings demand allegiance above all else. In this capitalist fever dream, where power trumps principle and profit eclipses purpose, every cut bleeds more than just finances. It drains hope itself from the veins of possibility.